Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards with the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. Let's start with an article from AARP, the magazine, Real People, Inspiring Stories of Friends and Neighbors in Their Own Words. And we'll start with a Good Sport article, On Guard. Former Olympian Peter Westbrook escaped poverty through fencing. Now he shares the sport with a new generation of champions. No matter what I do, I can never repay what I owe to the sport of fencing, but I keep trying. My mother raised me and my sister in the housing projects of Newark, New Jersey. Mom was always trying to show me the world beyond the projects. When I turned 14, she encouraged me to try fencing. She was from Japan originally, and she told me, we have samurais in the family. At the time, I thought, what good does that do me here? But I tried it and fell in love with the sport. In the end, I attended college on a fencing scholarship and was a six-time Olympian, earning a bronze medal in 1984. My father was black, and I was the first black man to ever win an Olympic medal in fencing. Based on the brokenness within my family and community, I should not have been successful. The sport gave me a different way to deal with adversity and a new perspective, and I feel like I have a duty and a responsibility to pass that knowledge along. In 1991, I started a foundation to teach underserved kids in New York City about fencing and life. We talk about emotions and how to keep going even when faced with the most dire of circumstances. Not everyone in our program is going to qualify for the Olympics, and that's not our purpose. That said, some of the kids we work with do become Olympians. Since 2000, we have sent 16 athletes to the Games. Two won silver medals in Beijing in 2008, and one brought home a bronze from Rio in 2016. This year, one of our alumni will compete in Paris. I often meet these kids when they're in a broken state, not presenting the best first impression. Fencing lets them get out their aggression and pain. Then we can help guide them. I always practice with the kids what I practice in my own life. Have a positive attitude. Be thankful. And try to help others. And this was as told to Jennifer E. Mabry. Peter Westbrook, 72, is a retired marketing executive, is founder and CEO of the Peter Westbrook Foundation in New York City. Now, another real person, The Last Picture Show. Photographer Benita Van Winkle travels the country to document vanishing theaters. For one of my first assignments as a photography major in college, I chose to document an old cinema near my hometown of Largo, Florida. The Caribe was the heart of my community, a place of understanding, education, and exposure to new ideas. 2 years after I had photographed it, the Caribe was torn down. I started thinking about how closely our identities are tied to the places we grow up in. That's how I started shooting other towns' old theaters. This was in the 80s, when these places were just starting to disappear, often replaced by malls or parking lots. In 1982, there were about 13,000 movie theaters around the country. By 2020, there were less than half that number. I've shot 940 theaters to date, during breaks from my job as a college professor of art. Every time I go to a new old theater, I get to hear about its history from the locals. Documenting these community spaces is my life's work, a never-ending passion project. Even if these theaters are disappearing, there are still more than enough to last me a lifetime. My hope is that people will see my work and realize how important it is to have a community space for everyone, regardless of religion, identity, or political view. We need to preserve the kinds of spaces that bring people together, teach us to love one another in spite of our differences, and anchor us to the places that raised us. And this was as told to Julie Goldenberg. Benita Van Winkle, 64, is an associate professor at High Point University in North Carolina. Now, we'll go back to an article that was titled, This is 70, and one of the sections that we haven't read yet is called The Perfect Portable Chair. Getting out of a beach chair gracefully shouldn't be manageable only by contortionists. The good news is that industrial designers are aware of the older American market and eager to please. We ask experts Laura Umansky, co-founder of Design Dash, and Sarah Hassel, an award-winning product designer, what to look for in the perfect outdoor chair. Be well armed. Long, sturdy armrests can provide additional support when getting in and out of the chair. Look for chair arms that extend to at least your wrists and preferably allow you to grip the ends and push down as you stand up. Sun and shade. Some folding chairs have attached hoods to provide shade, but that adds weight and you'll never enjoy full body protection. One solution would be a chair with two wheels for easier repositioning for shade. Look for perfect pitch. That means a chair that isn't too deep and doesn't recline too far. A chair with a tall and upright backrest is generally easier to stand up from. It will also reduce the risk of straining your back. And portability pays. A chair should be constructed of lightweight materials that will make it easy to carry. Chairs such as the popular carry like a backpack variety may not be comfortable for those with back problems. And finally, in seats, height matters. The lower the chair, the harder the standing up. A seat height of 17 to 18 inches is ideal and will allow you to get up without having to ask someone nearby to lend you a steadying hand. Now, how about some superfood smackdown? Also from AARP, the magazine, groceries can be expensive. Healthy groceries can be even more expensive. To help you make the smartest choices at the supermarket, we put the top good-for-you foods to the test. Extra virgin olive oil, EVOO, versus coconut oil. Lately, coconut oil has been touted as some kind of fat-based panacea, with people adding it to everything from their skincare routines to their morning coffee. It's also easy to cook with because it has a high smoke point. But coconut oil has a hidden downside in the form of a whopping 12 grams of saturated fat per tablespoon. Compare that to extra virgin olive oil, which carries a mere 2 grams of saturated fat. When it comes to saturated fat, less is more. The winner? Extra virgin olive oil. And it's a wonderful source of monounsaturated fatty acids and polyphenols and has powerful antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties, says Serena Poon, a chef and certified nutritionist in Los Angeles. And while it has a lower smoke point than many other oils, you can still cook with it on higher heat. Studies are busting the long-running myth that cooking destroys its beneficial compounds. Acai bowl versus Greek yogurt with granola. First, realize that in this battle of superfoods, it's quite possible that neither option will qualify as super. Acai bowls usually contain honey or some other form of added sugar, while yogurt with fruit on the bottom is often really syrup on the bottom, with the granola itself can be high in sugar. But there is a way around all that sweetness. The winner is Greek yogurt with granola. By virtue of its protein content, Greek yogurt is likely the best bet, but there's a better choice. Make your own yogurt bowl with unsweetened Greek yogurt, no sugar added granola or chopped nuts, and a sprinkle of acai berries, said New Jersey-based registered dietitian Aaron Polinsky-Wade, author of 2-Day Diabetes Diet. If you're buying a convenience food, look for real fruit added on top, not syrupy fruit on the bottom. And quinoa versus brown rice. Quinoa and rice are both suitable for those who need to avoid gluten, says Poon. Either grain is an okay choice, assuming quinoa, which contains more fiber, doesn't affect your digestive system. Other fiber-rich gluten-free grain options include millet, amaranth, and wild rice. The winner is quinoa. It contains twice as much protein as brown rice, while also being a complete protein, meaning it contains all 9 essential amino acids. It also has slightly more fiber, allowing it to be more blood sugar friendly, Polinsky-Wade says. Now let's look at Atlantic salmon versus tuna. We normally think of fat as a bad thing, but when it comes to fish, the fat is the good stuff. The omega-3 fatty acids found in fish help prevent cognitive decline in older adults, says Poon, and those healthy fats are abundant in both salmon and tuna. But fat is also where fish accumulate toxins like mercury, a pollutant that can reach concerning concentrations in large predator fish like tuna, marlin, and bluefish, according to the National Resources Defense Council. If you do eat tuna or other large fish, it is recommended to do so in moderation, says Poon. The winner is Atlantic salmon. Atlantic salmon is the clear winner in this battle of the big fish. However, if you do decide on the tuna, Polinsky-Wade recommends opting for pole and line caught varieties, since they tend to be younger and smaller, and they typically contain less mercury. Look at options canned in water and those labeled low sodium or no salt added when possible, she says. For more information on seafood sustainability, consult nrdc.org or seafoodwatch.org. Now let's look at veggie burger versus impossible burger. What's the best choice if you're trying to eat less meat? A plant-based burger that pretends it's beef or a plant-based burger that tastes like plants? I'm not a fan of packaged substitute meats, says Poon. They are usually highly processed and high in sodium. Bodies don't metabolize sodium as well later in life. And while faux meat is typically higher in protein, about 20 grams per 4-ounce serving, than veggie burgers, which average fewer than 16 grams per patty, it also has more saturated fat. The winner is the veggie burger. A plant-based burger that tastes like plants is the better choice, but read the label to make sure your brand doesn't pose sodium problems. Look for veggie burger brands made strictly from a mix of beans, lentils, and vegetables. If you crave real meat, one made from 100% lean turkey meat will be your best bet. Almond, oat, and soy milk versus dairy milk. Giving up dairy also means giving up the protein and calcium that come with it, and milk alternatives often can't replace those crucial nutrients. Among common plant-based milks, soy milk contains the most protein, followed by oat milk and then almond milk. Soy milk also contains phytoestrogens, natural compounds that may help support cognitive function in older adults and may be linked to lowering the risk of some cancers. But read the label. Is that milk substitute fortified with calcium and vitamin D? Does it have added sugar? How about ingredients like carrageenan, which is added for texture but can cause digestive upset in some people? There are so many choices, but one best option, and that is cow's milk. When it comes to the nutritional needs of older adults, protein is paramount. For those who can't tolerate dairy, soy is the next best choice. And finally, pomegranate versus goji berries. Gojis are high in the carotenoid zeaxanthin, which may protect against macular degeneration. They also contain melatonin, which supports sleep. Pomegranate seeds are high in vitamin C, fiber, and other nutrients that give them cardioprotective and anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, and anti-carcinogen properties. It's really a taste preference. Pomegranate is a little sweeter than tart goji berries. But is one better than the other? The winner, it's a draw. You're best served by eating a variety of different fruits, including gojis and pomegranate. Both are packed with vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. You can't go wrong with either, fresh or dried, says Polinsky Wade, who advises aiming for about a quarter a cup of each per day. Now I'm going to switch to AARP The Bulletin in an article titled State News North Carolina. Get connected with tech help. Classes aim to boost digital skills. This is by Michelle Crouch. Ray Sullivan, 72, of Charlotte, acknowledges he's always been a few steps behind when it comes to technology. He was still using his 1993 flip phone until a few years ago when his daughter's nudging persuaded him to switch. "Daddy, you need to get up on board with these phones," he recalls her telling him. "In the next 15 or 20 years, you're going to be totally lost because this is the way the world is going." Sullivan didn't want to be lost, so he traded in the flip phone for a smartphone. Now, with the help of AARP North Carolina, Sullivan is conquering his next tech challenge using a computer. He and his wife, Fran Johnson Sullivan, 67, finally got their first laptop and some internet service at home. It came after they took a five-week computer essentials class taught by AARP volunteers in Charlotte. The class was part of a free initiative AARP created in 2023 in collaboration with the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library, Senior Planet, and the Center for Digital Equity at Queen's University of Charlotte. Senior Planet is the flagship technology training program offered by Older Adults Technology Services from AARP. The North Carolina program, called Digital Literacy Charlotte Tech Titans 50+, aims to help older adults become more comfortable with today's technology. More than 200 people have participated so far. In addition to the basic computer class, the AARP initiative has offered a five-week iPad Essentials course and a 10-week program called Money Matters, which included using online resources to access movies and music, search for flights and hotels, and earn extra income. AARP North Carolina is now planning to expand the program to other parts of the state, says Rebecca Gilbert, Associate State Director of Advocacy and Outreach for the organization. She says digital literacy is vital for older adults because it can help combat social isolation and because so much of daily life is now conducted online, from accessing government services to communicating with a healthcare provider to connecting with faraway friends. "We want to empower older adults to do things themselves and not have to rely on their grandchildren or children to access what they need," Gilbert says. She says during and after the COVID-19 pandemic, many Charlotte area AARP members received free laptops through a library program. But a lot of people kept them in the box because they didn't know how to use them, she says. "Learning how to use computers and find information online helps people live their best lives." Sullivan says the AARP class helped him to get familiar with the keyboard, screen, and various applications such as Microsoft Word and Chrome. He enjoys using the computer to read the news, follow his children on Facebook, and search the internet. It's even better than his smartphone. "When you look things up on the computer, you see the wide scope of things. It's easier to access," he says. AARP volunteers Patricia Battle, 64, and Roger Pierce, 70, helped teach the digital literacy sessions. Battle says she thinks one reason the classes have been successful is that older adults are the teachers. It's the pace lot of the class. It's associations that the teacher can make and the participants can identify with, she says, adding that those small things can help make participants feel more comfortable. Battle says one 84-year-old woman who took her class had never even touched a computer before. At the end of the five-week course, she was super-duper excited about going online to find recipes, search for places to visit with her grandkids, and communicate with her doctors through MyChart, Battle says. The octogenarian had gained independence and freedom to do new things, she says. Just her joy, I mean, it made me cry, Battle said. Michelle Crouch, who wrote this article, is a North Carolina-based journalist who covers health care and consumer issues. She has written for the Bulletin for 10 years. And we have a sidebar article here, Resources Digital Literacy. Among the assistance available to help older adults become comfortable with technology, AARP North Carolina's digital literacy programs are free at the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library branches. Charlotte area residents can go to digilitclt.org for a list of classes and to register. AARP Foundation, in collaboration with Senior Planet, has how-to videos and other guides for using Zoom, getting to Gmail account, and navigating other issues. For this, you visit seniorplanet.org/digital-skills-ready. Senior Planet from AARP has a free hotline run by technology trainers who can help answer your questions. The hotline, 888-713-3495. Again, 888-713-3495 is open weekdays from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now let's look at a quick note on Medicare Made Easy. A question. I received an offer from a company that says Medicare will cover a genetic test for risk of some diseases. Is this for real? Beware of any offers for Medicare-covered tests or services that don't come from a trusted provider. Medicare has seen a spike in scams involving free genetic testing to identify your risk for cancer, dementia, or other hereditary diseases. Scammers often target people at senior centers or events to do a cheek swab on the spot, or they may send a test kit to you in the mail. The whole point is to steal your Medicare card number and fraudulently bill Medicare for thousands of dollars. Be sure to read your Medicare summary notice or explanation of benefits to spot any unusual charges. Look for the words gene analysis or molecular pathology as a red flag. Medicare covers genetic testing only to see whether people with cancer have an inherited gene mutation. If you suspect this scam, report it to your local senior Medicare patrol at 877-808-2468. That number again, 877-808-2468. Next question. I am 64 and currently have COBRA. Do I have to take Medicare when I turn 65, or can I wait until my COBRA runs out? People turning 65 who are covered under employer insurance may defer Medicare enrollment until they stop actively working or lose coverage from a spouse. You still probably should sign up for no-cost Part A because for some insurers, Medicare hospital insurance becomes primary when you turn 65. COBRA is different. It is designed to bridge the gap between leaving a job and having another form of insurance, including Medicare. If you have COBRA, you have two reasons to enroll in Medicare at 65. First, COBRA often ends or becomes secondary once you're eligible for Medicare. Second, if you miss your initial enrollment period into Medicare, the 7-month window around your 65th birthday, you won't get another chance once your COBRA ends. That means you may pay a late enrollment penalty, which lasts as long as you have Medicare. Also from the bulletin, let's finish up today with some lighthearted items here. Witty and wise. Two gentlemen running down the road. John, did you sign up for the company 401k? Don, there's no way I can run that far. Two women. Jess, what do you know about bonsai trees? Tess, very little. Two guys. Addison, why did the ham leave the hospital? Edison, he was cured. Two guys. The rest are all guys. Vince, you really should read War and Peace. Vance, not after you spoiled the ending. Ollie, how do you talk to a fool? Wally, humor them. Tell them they're right. Ollie, that's ridiculous. Wally, you're right. Saul, is your son still afraid of the dark? Sal, nope. Now that he pays his own electric bill, he's afraid of the light. Now we have some quotes here. I'll have cake every once in a while, but I won't eat the whole cake like I did before. The Price is Right host, Drew Carey, who's 66. You want to stay in the game as long as possible, like tennis. Just one more round and one more game. That's from Sting, 72. I always feel like every adventure is my last. Then I put my whole self into it. Always rock like there's no tomorrow. That was from actor and musician Jack Black, who's 54. Everybody has been very gracious, and they tell me that they love my boys. What mom doesn't want to hear that? That's Donna Kelsey, 71, mother of NFL stars Travis and Jason Kelsey. The rest of the world probably looks and goes, oh, that's old. It's not old. That is wisdom on two legs. That was from actor Jane Seymour on Being 73. I don't want to be spending time chasing a part of my life that's gone. From actor Jennifer Grey, 64, on aging. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.